Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet. We have your Saturday sorted once again here with tips and insights across a busy Saturday of racing. I'm your host, James Stevens, and on the show this week, we'll be looking at the two Group 1 races at Newmarket, the Cheveley Park and the Middle Park, two-year-old races, which are usually so informative for the classics next year. We'll also be trying to solve that 24-runner Cambridgeshire. Good luck to our tipsters this week. We'll also be going to Haydock for two live ITV races there. Joining me on the show, we've got Racing Post tipster Robbie Wilders, Racing Post handicapper Johnny Pearson, and as always, Unibet's Ed Nicholson. Let's go straight into this weekend's action. We're going to start at Newmarket for the Group 1 card. And the first one on the day and the first one we'll be looking at is the 225 at Newmarket, the Tassel Sceptre Sessions Cheveley Park Stakes. This is where Ed Walker is bidding for a really big win here. His first domestic Group 1 since Starman in the 2021 July Cup. His favourite is Royal Fixation at 13-8. Beautify for Aidan O'Brien. A great record in this race is 7-2. True Love also for O'Brien at 4-1. America Queen at 9-2. Fitzella 12-1 for Hugo Palmer and O'Sheen Murphy. Havana Anna 16s. Amphilia for Rod Millman, Come on the West Country, 18-1. Orion's Belch, 40-1. And Golden Palace, 66-1. Robbie, great to have you back on the show. What wins the Cheveley Park?
Thanks for having me on, James. I think True Love wins this. I've not seen the Aidan O'Brien jockey bookings yet. He does take his time, doesn't he, to get them on. Yeah. But if I was the top Ballydore rider tomorrow, I'd want to be on True Love. She admittedly wasn't herself completely in the Phoenix Stakes last time, but she did finish lame. I think her defeat of Puerto Rico won the Champagne at Doncaster, and Power Blue obviously won that Phoenix, was right up there, the best juvenile performances I've seen this season. Obviously wasn't a true form in the Phoenix. I mean, the way she took apart Power Blue there, I think that was exceptional performance. And she's the type of filly that's not going to stay down for too long for me. I think she's been forgotten about in the bet, and she has the best form. While I respect Royal Fixation and America Queen, who could easily reverse the form of that filly, I do think that True Love holds the aces, and she should be tough to beat if bouncing back.
4-1, as Robbie speculates on there. We're recording this on Thursday afternoon. We're not quite sure what Aidan O'Brien's doing with his jockeys yet, of course, after all the drama what you've had in the last few weeks. But True Love is the one Robbie Wilders wants to be on. What is the one you want to be on, Johnny?
Well, I've got some good news for Robbie, first of all. Tom Marcond is on Beautify and Wayne Lorden's on True Love. So it looks like True Love's very much the first choice.
Tom Marcond's probably a better jockey, though. But anyway, yeah, carry on, please.
Wayne's got the pick there, isn't he? So, but I'm not going to be with either of those horses. Though. I'm going to instead look to a different O'Brien and go with Donegal O'Brien's Havana Anna. It's got pretty good. She has some decent form. You know, she won two in a row, and then she went for a Group 3 race at Longchamp last time out. It actually hit the line really strongly and was unfortunate to lose by a nose that day. The step up to 6 furlongs, I think, is definitely sure to suit her. And I think she's a big player. Like, you know, Royal Fixation was impressive at York when he won. You know, William Buick sort of pressed the switch, and she went past him like there was no issues there at all. But I think step up to 6 is going to see Havana Anna improve a lot more, and she's the one I'd want to be with.
16-1 could be a good bit of each way value on a day where there's always big prize winners on this day. So Havana Anna is for Johnny. Ed, tell us a bit more about your selection here and what the market's been like for these Group 1 races.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think the going is going to be key everywhere. With the rain is coming sporadically across the UK at different times, isn't it, in the next few days? But as I understand it, the going is good at the moment as we record. And I did just check, and there's no rain forecast between now and Saturday, which means hopefully with a dry and wind, they'll be at least good for those horses that like fast ground, of which I have a few at Newmarket this weekend. And Royal Fixation is a horse that's run three times on Good to Firm and has shown really good form, winning the Lowther last time out on Good to Firm. So faster ground conditions will suit her. And she looks to be the one, I think. I'm surprised that neither of the Racing Post form experts have gone for Royal Fixation. I think that True Love's probably got the better handicap mark, as it were, open race rating. But I think Royal Fixation is still a work in progress. The way she won the Lowther, I watched that replay 3 or 4 times this morning, and she looks like there's still improvement to come. literally quickened up so well in the closing stages and then was going away at the end. I think Royal Fixation wins this before going on to contest even better races next year. I mean, you can't get better than Group 1s, but I mean, thinking about the 1,000 guineas, maybe she's got too much speed, but she'd be certainly one of the horses I'd be looking forward to seeing next year as a three-year-old, having won this race, James, because I think she'll win the Cheapy Park. I mean, Aidan O'Brien does very well in this race. Of all the two-year-old races we'll be looking at today, this is probably he's got the best record on this. He's won or come second in this race the last 4 years, including Lake Victoria. And True Love does look to be the first string, although Beautify has got some good form as well. But yeah, I thought it was straightforward for Royal Fixation. Wins this before winning another race later on the season and hopefully running in the big races next year.
Okay, so 13-8 Royal Fixation is Ed's fancy. And if you want to hear more about her chances, do make sure to check out the Racing Post Weekender. Our columnist Ed Walker, of course, looking for a big day on Saturday. Let's move on to the 3 o'clock at Newmarket. That is the Tattersalls Middle Park Stakes. And will it be Godolphin again? Of course, after last year's win, well, they've got the favourite in Wise Approach, who is your even money favourite, with our sponsors Unibet, the Publican Sun at 9-2. Copple for Clive Cox, 15-2. We know how well he does with his sprinters. Hiltani at 9-1. Kansas for Aidan O'Brien, 11-1. Five Ways at 12s for Andrew Balding. Brussels and Havana Hurricane at 16s, and First Approach the 66-1 outsider. Hard for me to say. Johnny, we've got a hot favourite for Godolphin here, Wise Approach. Even money favourite, yes or no?
Not for me, but I can see the case for him. He's run well. Second behind Charles Darwin at Royal Ascot, looks pretty good. But it's far too short a price against a number of unexposed horses, and a lot of them have also got excuses when they haven't won, for example, you know. And I'm pleased to see Wayne Lorden is on Brussels here. You know, they've gone for a tongue tie first time. I thought he didn't quite get home at Doncaster last time over 6.5. I think drop to 6 furlongs will really suit. If you watch back the race at Newmarket in July, where it's behind Zavaretti, he went off so fast that day. I mean, it's actually almost remarkable he only finished 2¾ lengths behind. And he's clearly not the most straightforward, but I think the drop back in trip will really help. Wayne Lorden's on board. And, you know, it's far too big a price. And I'll take an each way shout on him when you've got 9 declared for the race.
16-1 could be a bit of value. Johnny's certainly going for value this weekend in the Group 1s. Robbie, what's your verdict on the favourite?
Yeah, Joe Pinn makes a good case on Brussels. I was having a good look at him. The tongue tie does worry me. It remains to be seen what happens there. I was dead keen to take on this favourite, James, to be honest. I mean, he's now around even money with just Dad not running. He was a much bigger price for the Mill Reef last week, but before not getting declared for that. And this is a better race than that. I'm not sure his form is... I mean, the form's there for everyone to see, but I don't think it entitles him to be as short as he is. I think the Publican Sun is a fascinating horse for Joseph O'Brien. I hadn't heard of him until he made his debut a few weeks ago. Ran a really nice race at a massive price in the Roundtail Stakes, the Curra. The winner controlled matters from the front, and he made a lot of late ground up, looking quite green from off the pace, had to loop round runners. I thought that was a really eye-catching run. I think he's a tough horse that's going to step forward a good stone for his second start. And it's very encouraging on pedigree that he ran so well on ground with a bit of cutting at the Curra. He's got a fast ground pedigree, US bred horse. And Joseph O'Brien, not one to waste his Group 1 entry. So I think it's very, very taken that he's running here, and I'm expecting a big, big effort.
Yeah, just his second start, Robbie, in a Group 1. It's pretty ambitious, isn't it? It'd be a hell of an achievement to pull this off.
It would be, yeah. It's just certain trainers you kind of associate with sort of rolling the dice and sort of with a horse that has come a bit of no hope. I don't really associate Joseph O'Brien as a type of trainer that does that. He knows the time of day in these races. And I think this is a well above average colt in a race where we have a favourite who I don't think is unbeatable.
Okay, so we're eager to take on the favourite. The Publican Sun is Robbie's selection at 9-2. What's your verdict, Ed?
Yeah, I agree we should be taking on the favourite, Wise Approach. 11-10 was as big as 2-1 earlier on in the week. Charlie Appleby's won this race twice, but he's also had a horse beaten at short odds. Blue Point, 2016, came second at 11-10. He's a horse that has run well and has got the form and should be favourite, but you just think maybe there'll be one horse to beat him. I don't think it'll be Brussels. I think he'll have to sprout wings to win this. The one that I like is Five Ways, who won these Unibet Serenia stakes at Kempton. I got a lovely letter from the breeder owner, John Hobby, thanking us for our sponsorship and following that run. And Five Ways, they told me that they were going to go for these sort of races. They think a lot of him. I think a lot of him as well. I thought he ran a really solid race from the front. The fractions were good. He came back at the end, showed tenacity. And I think Five Ways can win a middle park. I think it'll be Andrew Balding's first middle park. So, yeah, Five Ways to continue the winning form. Ran about 14 to 1, I think.
Ed, full credit to you for getting through that after that awful pun you tried to sneak in there. It got a few frowns from our panel if you're listening at home. But Five Ways is a selection for Ed. He's taking on Brussels and, well, we'll see a difference of opinion in the middle part. Let's see if we are thinking the same in the Cambridgeshire, the Bet365 Cambridgeshire at 340 at Newmarket. We've had 50 to 1 winners to 40 to 1 winners, a 25 to 1 shot in the last 10 years. But we have got a bit of a smaller turnout for this race this year, so perhaps we won't see as big price to win, or maybe not. We'll see what the panel think. Well, your favourite as it stands is 9-2 Treble T. Fifth Column for Godolphin at 6-1. Westridge even at 7-1. Fort George at 9s. Greek Order and Tribal Chief at 11s. Real Gain for Wafnan at 12-1. A little bit of a market mover this one. Boiling Point at 14s, Thunder Run at 16s, along with Treasure Time. We won't go through them all, but let's go straight back to you, Ed. The Cambridgeshire, is this a race the bookies love or loathe?
Well, it is a race we love. You only have to look at the sponsors over the last few years to realise it's a race that we like to get involved with, generally speaking. But it's a great race. I absolutely love this race. One of my favourite races, Rambosaur, going back to Hauling. Plenty of others that I forget now, but I mean, love it. Dallas won it, big gambles left, right and centre. Rambosaur particularly won a landed a big gamble, and obviously it's still the case, but it is a very competitive race. I can understand how anyone would think Treble T would win, but the price is very short, isn't it? 5-1. Treble T won really well last time at Doncaster. I mean, that was a competitive handicap and he made it look so easy. But I'm going to stick with a horse at fairly big odds who actually form ties in well with Treble T. Great Chieftain. It won't be a surprise to those people that regularly listen to this podcast, but I've been banging on about Great Chieftain all year. And he hasn't run that often. In May, he won for me and for the podcast. But we only saw him recently come out at Goodwood in a race that Treble T came second at. And if you look at the weights and measures, I think he's got £6 for 5 lengths in that race. That was his first race for 3 months. I mean, the way he ran in the race as well, the owner had another horse in the race that was equally supported. I just thought that was there to get him ready for a big race like this. And the other thing that kind of makes me think he'll run a big race is the ground. I mentioned it earlier on. I think it'll be a drying ground, no rain. Good to firm. My theory about this horse is he's improving handicapper on fast ground. If you look at good ground, he's had 8 runs, 3 wins, 2 seconds and a win. Good to firm ground, even better, 3 runs and 2 wins. Just think he's going to get his ground. He's probably right for the first time since May, since we've only seen him once since then. And his form ties in well with Treble T, the 5-1 favourite. So Great Chieftain, finally, please, Great Chieftain, do something for me. And get at least placed in the Cambridgeshire. We're going 6 places on the Cambridgeshire, and I'd really hope that he'll win the race for Oliver Cole. Obviously, Oliver and Paul Cole won this race a few years ago, didn't they, with a horse that Paul Hannigan rode that I can't remember now. But they know how to have a horse for this race, and I think Great Chieftain is a good price at 25-1.
Yep. I tell you what, Ed, it's not an episode of a podcast if we don't get a bit of nostalgia from Ed and a cliff horse. So we've had it all in one there, but the selection is 20-1. And as Ed says, 6 places in the Cambridgeshire. So plenty of interest from an each way perspective. And Robbie, what are you looking at from an each way perspective?
Yes. Cracking race, even though it was a little bit disappointing to see only 24 runners. This used to have a silver race. Those days are long gone. I will be taking a flyer on one drawn high. High is often the place to go. It wasn't last year, but before that, it's all been high drawn horses. I'm going to take a chance on Erzincan, who's got quite an unusual profile for the race. He's a seven-year-old who has placed in a Group 1 in Maidan a few years ago, the 2023 Jebel Hatta. He's come down a long way in the weight since then, but one of his runs this season was really, really eye-catching. His return in the John Smith's Cup, he was fourth in a warm race behind Fox Legacy, See That Storm Archivist. And it was quite a slowly run affair. He was held up and he pumped in some very fast late sectionals. He was quicker than the front three for each of the last five furlongs, and they all finished in a bit of a sprint, about 110% race finishing speed. I thought that marked him down as a well-handicapped horse when he gets the right setup. Admittedly, he didn't run as well on his latest start since in a similar race at York, but I don't think he really stays extended 1 mile 2 when it's a proper run race. I think coming back down in trip is a very interesting move. He's a massive price for a new market trainer in Terry Kent, and I think he's been overlooked.
Erzincan, 22-1. Could be a huge outsider for Robbie, and we do get surprises in the Cambridgeshire. Johnny, are you thinking there's going to be a surprise or looking at one towards the top of the market?
It'll be one towards the top of the market for me. But I mean, I've got to say, I'm a bit disappointed. You know, last year the winner was drawn and still 35. We've only got 24 runners declared. I mean, it's almost going to be too easy to work out who's going to win it with so few running. But yeah, I'm going to stick towards the head of the market, and it's going to be West Ridge. And last week, obviously, I tipped up Whisper, who didn't run particularly well. And his foot, but I also don't think he got the best of rides for what it's worth. But his form from Windsor, very second behind Whisper, is a good piece of form. Then he went and won at Goodwood in July, beating a horse called Nakib quite comfortably. And Nakib actually won at 33-1 back at Goodwood yesterday. And then he's run well to finish third at York. And I was watching that run at York back earlier. And he's come down the middle of the first and second towards the far side. He's sort of come down middle towards stand side on his own. You know, he didn't get a bad ride, but it was actually a pretty good ride. And maybe with a bit of company, he actually would have finished closer. You know, he had the name of whatever the horse Robbie tipped in behind him that day. And it was sort of beat him quite well. You know, it's been a £2 swing in the weights between them. So arguably the one Robbie Tipch will actually finish closer to Westridge than last time. There probably actually won't be a huge amount between them. So I can definitely see the case there. But I'd like to stick with Westridge myself and just think 9-1's a very fair price about a horse that's, you know, in his last five runs been in the top three every time. And even before that, it was fifth back in April. And I think that's with six places on offer, not going each way on him looks a very sensible idea.
It was 9-1, Johnny. There's been support for him at 7-1 now. And of course, with Billy Lotnana aboard, there's no surprise there. So Westridge is the selection for Johnny in the Cambridgeshire. Let's have a quick look at the final race we'll look at Newmarket. This is the first one on the card, which is the Tattersalls Online Royal Lodge Stakes. A competitive race, Robbie, with Bo Echo at the top of the market. He's looked very good so far, 2 from 2 for George Bowie. Yeah. Is this horse the real deal?
I think he might be, James, to be honest. I don't think he's had an ideal setup either time so far. He's been running in races that haven't been very truly run at all. It's interesting that Bowie's supplementing him for this. They're already talking about him like he's a Guineas horse. They've already got that target in mind. It's interesting to come out that early and saying that. He beat, obviously, a very well-regarded Publish. It looked like Publish had really come to win that race, and the way he sort of kicked on in the last half furlong was quite impressive to stretch away, I thought. I think this is a good horse. And I think most of the horses in this field that he's taken on are going to be more Derby trial type horses. So I just think he might just have too much speed for him. I do think he's a fair favourite. And I probably wouldn't put anyone off having a play for the Guineas, to be honest. It's about 14-1 for that. That's definitely on my radar because I think this is a very smart horse.
Wow, okay, so Robbie really keen on Bo Echo, could even be a Guineas contender next year. Ed, this is always a good race for the trials, isn't it? I mean, the obvious one to go back to is, of course, Franklin all those years, but consistently a good race, and I agree with Robbie's point. I think this will be very informative in terms of middle distance horses next season.
Yeah, I totally agree. I echo what was said about Bo Echo. Looks a really decent horse. The race that kind of I'm looking at, though, is the Solario Stakes, which has also been pretty useful over the last few years. Horses finished bunched up this time. There were four of them, almost a dead heat. Andrew Balding runs Humidity. He's actually got quite a good record in the Royal Lodge. He's won two out of the last seven, Elm Park and the Foxes being his winners. But I like Pacific Avenue of Charlie Appleby. Charlie Appleby's never won the Royal Lodge Stakes, which I've found amazing, certainly this century, which I imagine is all the time he's been training. And Pacific Avenue just wasn't going that day. If you watch the video, he came out the store sluggish, managed to get himself into a position where he led a furlong, half a furlong out, and then still did really well to finish on fourth. I'm maybe putting it down to the ground, soft going, didn't seem to be stretching out at all. Looking at his leg action, and although I'm not an expert in horse configuration or conformation even, it looks he's got a daisy cutter stride. So I think the faster ground, I mentioned it earlier on, the faster ground will probably play more to this horse's strengths. And I'm just going to give him, I'm going to forgive him that run, although it was a good run, fourth, not beaten far, half a length, I think, less or less. Pacific Avenue, around about 11 to 2, I thought was probably worthy of taking on Bo Echo at around about 2 to 1.
Yeah, well, they've gone 5 to 1 with Unibet, Ed. So clearly somebody's been listening to you in the Unibet trading room. Johnny, finish us off with a favourite or going against?
I'm going to go against. I'm going to go with Tom Marcondon, not Wayne Lorden. Wayne Lorden's on Action, who's a half brother to Derby winner Lambourne. But I think he'd probably be a bit slow for this race, to be honest. But I like Daytona. I thought it was impressive on debut. It's a big, really taking type of horse. Then he was very impressive on his second start. Nace winning really well, beating a horse called North Coast. So much so I actually backed him for the Derby next year after that, which, you know, then he's come third in Deauville, so it's not looking like the smartest bet I've ever had at the prices now. But he didn't run too badly last time, or probably disappointed a bit given he was odds on and only finished third. But he was behind a good horse that Joseph O'Brien's called and Abby finished second. And the winner, Ray If, is a half brother to the horse who finished third in the Commonwealth Cup at Royal Ascot this year. And that horse has won two from two races. And I think that looks a much better piece of form than people are actually giving the race credit for. So a bit of a bigger price. I can see Daytona running a much better race than we saw last time. And I think he should be much more towards the top of the market, to be honest.
And before we move on, Ed, quick offer on this race?
Yeah, we've got plenty of offers this weekend of the ITV races. Six races on ITV, four different offers. In this particular one, we're doing a top industry price on every runner. So from midday, that gives you an hour and 50, we'll be going the best price on every single horse in this race.
Thanks very much. Well, we'll be heading to Haydock after the break. But before we do, we'll be having a bit of a surprise guest. Wait and see after this short break. Okay, so I mentioned a special guest because Unibet haven't just been sponsoring the Postcast in Cheltenham this week. They've also been sponsoring the British Open Snooker just up the road at the centre at the racecourse. Ed, you were along there and you were joined by a very special guest indeed.
So welcome to Cheltenham Racecourse. As you can hear and see, the home of National Hunt Racing, resplendent in beautiful sunlight. You might hear a little bit of a noise because at the moment they're getting ready for the October showcase meeting, which isn't far now. But we're here today specifically because we're sponsoring Unibet, sponsoring the British Open Snooker Championships. And I'm joined by Nico de Boinville, our Unibet ambassador. And Nico, 12 months ago you were here breaking reds with Unibet ambassador Mark Allen, the snooker player. 5 months ago, you were breaking ribs at Plumpton Racecourse. You've been off the course ever since. How are you? How's the rehabilitation going?
Feeling really good. Yeah, delighted to be back here. It's great that Unibet are sponsoring the British Open again. So, you know, there's a good turnout here. So, yeah, good to be back. And I'm delighted to be back and raring to go, really.
Okay, so great to hear from Nico de Boinville there, Ed. Raring to go, isn't he, for the new season, of course, with all those big horses. Just give us a flavour of what the vibe was like from Nico de Boinville. He's, of course, been off the sideline. He's been off the track and on the sidelines for some time. But there's so much to look forward to this season. Probably the interesting question I've got for you, though, is Constantine going to come back this season?
Well, we talked about him. We talked about all the major horses. Nico's very much looking forward to getting on board Constitution. Now, we spoke about the two falls. He only had four falls last year, did Nico? Two of them on Constitution Hill and one of them where he broke his neck. So he was a bit unlucky last year. But he's very much looking forward to getting back on Constitution Hill. He says that he's more forward this year than he was last, but the plan is still to go for the fighting fifth. He was also making bullish remarks about John Bond. He approached the subject by stating that everyone says that horses come back bigger and stronger. But he said in this case, John Bond really does look bigger and stronger. I asked him about where he goes because obviously 2 miles, 2.5, and 3, all options. He said they'll start off in the Schlur, possibly Tingle Creek, and then see where it goes. But I've got the feeling the stable are desperate to run John Bond over 3 miles, but he's been doing the business over 2 and 2.5. So who knows? I think there's so many options for John Bond. And obviously, Nico's really looking forward to getting on board. When he came onto the course proper, we did the interview, as you've just seen, overlooking the course. And it was like he'd seen a long-lost friend when he came and looked over the rail. He really is looking forward to getting on board the horse for the first time, or horses for the first time. And that should be in the coming weeks, I think, James. He's ready to go. When Nicky Henderson is going to bring out his horses, he'll be riding them. So he's ready to go.
That's good to hear. I think we're 2 weeks out almost, as we recorded on Thursday, from the big return at Chepstow. Can't get too excited, though, because we've still got so much good flat action to go. But a little tease there. And Ed, Unibet social channels and website for the full version with Nico?
Yep, it's on the YouTube channel. So YouTube you can go to. And also unibet.co.uk/blog. And you'll be able to see a lovely picture of Nico celebrating on board Shiskin. And that, if you click onto that, you'll get the full interview.
Perfect. And we heard, of course, in the Racing Post earlier this week that Constitution Hill had been to his own version of Specsavers. Let's see if our road guys can identify the winners at Haydock, because we're going to head there now for one race in particular. We're going to focus on is the 205. That's the odds checker handicap, where your favourite at 3-1 for Rob Millman from the West Country, of course, is 3-1 favourite. Duran at 9-2, Vintage Clarence at 5s, All the Way Glamorous for Chris Mason at 13-2, Blue Storm at 7s, I'm Next 12s, Queen's Guard 14-1. Robbie, it's a tricky sprint up at Haydock. We know the ground's going to be pretty testing. What's your verdict?
Yeah, tricky old sprint, James. The one that caught my eye was Germanic for Julie Camacho, who won a big prize at Goodwood yesterday with Nakeep in the Foundation Stakes. Yeah, this is an interesting horse. I was quite keen on him for the Wokingham earlier in the season. Didn't run too badly in that, to be fair. But his last two runs haven't been great in the Stewards' Cup and a good 5-1 handicap at Ascot. But he's gone for wind surgery. That's quite interesting. Suggests that there has been an underlying breathing issue. But if you go back to his earlier runs this season, they were pretty promising. He was a very good second in a handicap that's worked out well at Newcastle in May, over 6 furlongs. Tough to make the run at Newcastle, run into a headwind. And he shaped as if the drop back to 5 was quite an interesting move. He's got form on cut in the ground as well. Could see him going well at the price.
Okay, so the selection there is Germanic at 16-1 with Unibet. Could be a bit of value there. Thanks for that one, Robbie. Johnny, what's your thinking here? Are we looking towards Woolhampton? He's in flying form. He's 3-1 favourite, looking for a hat trick, or are we thinking elsewhere?
No, thinking elsewhere. And I mean, I've been in the office in London and everyone's favourite Scotsman, Keith Melrose, is in. So I was talking to him about the race, and Duran's obviously an interesting runner, but the one we sort of landed on was Blue Storm, who won the race 12 months ago. You might be slightly concerned he's only had one run this year, and that run was in the first week of September. And if you look at his racing last season or last year, he had a race before he won at Epsom, he had a race around Chester about 3 weeks before he won. And then you look at this race he won last year, and funny enough, he actually was beaten by the same horse in his prep run for this race last year, Democracy Dilemma. And that was about 3 to 4 weeks before this race. And he's had sort of the same prep from that point of view. He's only racing off £1 higher than that. The ground's not going to be any concern. So provided there was no real issue for him to be off the track, I think Blue Storm looks an outstanding bet.
Okay, so Blue Storm for Johnny. Even a bonus little selection from Keith Murray's not on the show. What's exactly what we like? Can't say you don't get your money's worth on the postcast. Finally, Ed, 205 at Haydock. What do you like?
Yeah, first of all, this is our flagship offer race. Money back second or third as cash on the 205. 11 runners, good to soft going. We mentioned different goings around the country. Good to soft could get softer. I like the top two in the betting. Wolverhampton and Duran both go well on the ground, both show good form. I'm just going to keep on the faith with Wolverhampton, who's won his last two off 83 and 90, has to run off 96. Now, he hasn't managed to achieve that before. So he will have to do something he's never done before. But Rod Millman's horse is remaining in good form. He's got good Haydock form, good in terms of he's had two runs and two thirds. But he's got PJ McDonald, who I love as a jockey, especially on sprinters. So, yeah, Wolverhampton, not saying anything people don't know, 7-2, 3-1 favourite. But, yeah, I think Wolverhampton will win a third race on the bounce.
Okay, and there's one more race on ITV, and I'll also let you guys give us any other selections you like from around the track at this point as well. But the 3:15 at Haydock, the Ambassador Cruise Line Handicap. Ed, let's come straight back to you. You've got one in this race. Who do you like?
Yeah, I really like a lightly raced horse here. First Ambitions. And he had two runs, both on the all-weather. First foal out of Lawrence, who we all know won six Group 1s, winning Group 1s as a 2-, 3-, and 4-year-old. And First Ambition, funnily enough, has only had two runs getting to four. Obviously, been difficult to train. But last time out, showed really good tenacity. Pulled early on in that race at Southall. You'd be surprised with a horse with little experience that he still had enough at the end of the race and where all to win. But he did. I noticed he's still heavily engaged in a couple of big handicaps at the back end of the season, the Balmoral Handicap, which he's just 16-1 for. Obviously, very lightly raced, inexperienced, but he, you know, he's got the breeding to do better than a rating of 91. He's got the top stable of Carl Burke, who know what they're doing. Carl Burke's actually very, very good at kind of developing horses to win their first couple of races. The average, I think, stat is 20% of horses that win their first race win their second race. And he's higher than that. He does it quite often. And I just think First Ambition is just probably a little bit better than these. And hopefully he'll win this on route to Ascot in October.
Okay, 100-30 favourite is First Ambition. Robbie, if you've not got one in the 3:15, has anything taken your eye elsewhere?
Yeah, certainly, James. All eyes on the Curragh for me, 3:45 for the Goff's Million. Big money up for grabs, 500 grand to the winner. This is always an interesting race. Last season, Paddy Toomey won it with a debutant. A couple of years ago, actually, sorry. It was one look, won by six lengths. It was very interesting. I think it's a race he targets. I get the impression that his horse, Phenomenal Filly, has just been laid out for it. He's had 79 days off after winning a maiden pretty easily at Leopardstown. It's always a good maiden. Exactly, Matron Stakes runner-up this season, won it last year. Home of the Songs of Guineas winner, won it a few years ago. And she won it easily. And then the time before, she got a taste of the course, running quite an eye-catching race. I thought went fifth behind Composing, who reopposes, has gone on to win a couple of good races for Aidan O'Brien. Looked green that day. I just get the impression that Toomey has probably put her away. Billy Lee's up. I doubt we've seen the best of her. She did have a Moy Glare entry early in the season. They've obviously resisted to go for a bit of Group 1 black type to take out this massive pot. And I'd be very interested if the money came for her.
Okay. What about you, Johnny?
Yeah, I've gone to the Curragh as well. It's a 3:40. It's a race for 3-year-olds over 7 furlongs. And I think, I don't know what the prices are, but Rowdy Yates is a very interesting runner. He's 2-year-old form, and going back a bit. He was second behind Arizona Blaze, who's now a Group 1 winner. And in a different race, he was second behind Sassine, who obviously won, I can't remember the name of the race, at Royal Ascot. And then he won on his first start this season, beating Stormpiece's decent horse himself. Currawood, who's second there. His third was a bit disappointing at Ferry House, and I've got no idea what happened last time. It was beaten a long way, gone off favourites. Too bad to be true. But provided that was just a blip, I think he could be actually quite useful type for Noel Mead, and I think that's could be potentially a good bet depending on the prices.
I just remember the name, Johnny.
Rowdy Yates.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat. With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 Uniboosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Okay, so we are going to share our best bets on the weekend, and I'm going to go first for a change. Don't normally do it, but I'm going to go for Midnight Gun in the 3:15 at Haydock. We touched on this race before about Lawrence's progeny running in the race. Well, Midnight Gun is out of Sky Lantern, a real top-class miler. I feel this horse has got loads more to offer. Wafnan are involved and clearly only want to be involved in the very best. I'm hoping she is going to be too good at 4-1. Robbie Wilders, your nap, please.
Yes, James, the Middle Park on Saturday, 3 o'clock at Newmarket. Wise Approach, too short. The publican son, this is going to be a star later in the season. He's going to win this and go on to run very well at the Breeders' Cup. The publican son.
3 o'clock at Newmarket for Robbie. Johnny, what's yours?
We're going to take a chance on Tom Marcond being on the right one in the 150 at Newmarket, and that is Daytona in the Royal Lodge Stakes.
Okay, and Ed. It's got to be the Cambridgeshire, isn't it? At 3:40 at Newmarket.
Yeah, go big or go home. That's what I say. The hardest race of the day, the Cambridgeshire at 3:40 Newmarket. It's got to be the day for Great Chieftain. Tipped in for both Royal Ascot and Glorious Goodwood. Pulled out because of the ground, softish ground. He needs it fast. He's going to get it fast for the first time since May. Great Chieftain to win the Cambridgeshire, the 3:40 at a big odds.
And as you say, go big, go home. He's 20-1, a huge prize nap to finish off the podcast. Thank you very much to our panellists, Robbie Wilders, Johnny Pearson and Unibet's Ed Nicholson. And of course, to you for watching along. Do make sure to rate, review and subscribe if you're a fan of a podcast. And of course, on a busy week of sporting action, we've not just got the snooker here in Cheltenham, of course, the Unibet British Open. There's also the Ryder Cup. Some brilliant content on the Racing Post site to get ahead of a huge weekend in America. Steve Palmer's selections, well worth looking out for. But do join us again at 7 o'clock next Thursday, because it doesn't get better than this. It's ARC weekend, as well as some top class action in Britain. Will we get the big winner of arguably the biggest flat race of the season? Will join us again at 7 p.m. We'll try and unpick a very busy weekend of racing. As for now, have a wonderful weekend. Goodbye. And of course, gamble responsibly.